This is Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos, reporting from the newsroom in New York. So, quitting the QWERTY keyboard. Are you ready? Have you even thought about it? Science has. Smartphones have long been hurting the QWERTY cause, our large, nubby fingers refusing to allow a decent text or email to read correctly. But a new era of tech is working on a new kind of input. Typing is about to get weird. First, these tech headlines. The Trump administration sues California over its net neutrality law. In a series of events, California Governor Jerry Brown signed a bill Sunday reinstating Obama-era open internet rules in the state. The Justice Department responded almost immediately with a lawsuit seeking to overturn the law. State lawmakers back in August passed the nation's strongest net neutrality provisions. The law forbids internet service providers from blocking websites, intentionally slowing down a website or app, or accepting payments to make online services go faster. California is already fighting the Trump administration in court on a number of fronts, including environmental and immigration issues. Keep up with the latest details on the story at WSJ.com or on the WSJ app. Facebook could get fined as much as $1.63 billion for the data breach announced Friday, in which hackers compromised the accounts of more than 50 million users. That is, if regulators find the company violated strict new privacy law. Ireland's Data Protection Commission, Facebook's lead privacy regulator in Europe, has demanded more details from Facebook about the breach. A spokeswoman for Facebook said it will respond to follow-up questions. CEO Mark Zuckerberg said the company is taking the breach very seriously and that it is still trying to determine many details around the scope and impact of the incident. Big U.S. banks face a big increase in attempted cyber attacks. Some have seen an uptake in recent weeks as cyber risk warnings from the Treasury have become more prevalent. Federal officials have asked the banks, which include Bank of America, Citigroup, J.P. Morgan Chase, and Wells Fargo, to monitor traffic from hackers who appear to be searching for weaknesses in the firm's networks. Messages about the government warnings have also been shared among member banks of the Financial Services Information Sharing and Analysis Center, a financial industry organization for cyber and physical threat intelligence. Coming up, your QWERTY keyboard days are numbered. Why it's time for a new way to interact with computers. So, QWERTY keyboards, nicknamed for its first six keys, long called the unkillable cockroaches of the tech world. But according to the Wall Street Journal's personal tech columnist, the new era needs a new kind of input. Get ready to tap, motion, or maybe even think your words soon. Joining us now from San Francisco with more is personal tech columnist David Pierce. Welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I actually, when I have to type, it's become a chore. I'd rather just speak it. So interestingly, I thought your feature in the journal would go more down that road. Not the case. Why is it not necessarily the most natural progression in terms of typing?
I think voice typing is a huge part of the future. It's something we already know how to do, obviously, because we all talk all the time, and because we're already sort of getting used to talking to technology with Alexa and Siri and what have you. But there are a lot of places where voice doesn't work, whether you want to send something that you'd rather the world not hear, or if you're, you know, in a crowded place and microphones may not hear you very well. Or, I mean, there are any number of reasons why voice socially might work, even if it technically works. Mm-hmm. And I think part of what I discovered in reporting this piece is that the answer to kind of what comes after the QWERTY keyboard is not one thing, it's lots of things. And that instead of trying to do everything with the same keyboard and the same layout, we're going to be able to do different things, different ways, depending on what feels good and works for the situation we're in. So I think voice is probably going to be the most important next thing for QWERTY. But I think what's really interesting is how many different ways we're going to replace the way that we type.
Mm-hmm. And they're hard at work thinking of all kinds of things, which leads me to, now, talk to me about this high-tech brass-knuckly contraption that you're sporting in your video. Fascinating to look at, the kind of thing that makes you say, I want one. It's from Tap Systems. It's one glimpse into the future of typing. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so basically, this company's idea is that rather than typing on a keyboard, you should be able to just tap on any hard surface, and with a different type of tap, you should be able to do different letters. So you wear this strap, they call it, but it really does look like a pair of sort of mesh brass knuckles, like you kind of want to get in a fist fight with somebody wearing it. But you put it on, and then it senses your finger movement. So if you tap with your index finger, that registers an E. And if you tap with your thumb and your index finger, I think that's an N. You kind of learn the language of how to tap on any surface. And their idea is that for all the times when you don't have room for a keyboard or don't want to look at a keyboard, that by doing this, it becomes a motor function. You get to the point where you can sort of blindly tap while you're doing other things. It's a really interesting additional way, and in VR it might be necessary. So having that is complicated. It took me about 30 minutes. It was tough. It was really intense focus, and I only picked up about 8 letters. But we all had to learn how to type QWERTY at one point too. So
true, I can barely do it.
Exactly. So I think that's another one of those things that I'm not sure that specific thing is going to be huge, because I don't think everyone's going to want to wear a big strap on their hands all the time. But the idea that it's less about the keys and more about your fingers and hands, I think, is a really interesting one.
Yeah, and some companies are taking it even further. Leap Motion, in particular, it's a shakeup of reality as well through VR. Your listeners have to check out the video. It's something else. But David, you take it from here, because you actually got to interact through motion with real-world things. Can you kind of walk us through it?
Yeah, so Leap Motion's basic thing is a sensor that has a camera and some other information on it that can track your hands in space. And so basically the idea is you put on a VR headset, but you can still see your hands, just a digital representation of them. And what that means is that instead of needing a controller with buttons or, you know, having to remember the key code to pick up that object in front of you, you just reach out and pick up that object in front of you. And it's amazing how natural and normal that feels, even in a digital world. One of the examples they have to demo is this blocks game, where you're basically just sort of standing in a, you know, giant world around you, and you can just create blocks by sort of pinching your two hands together and pulling them apart to make it. And then when you let go, it falls. And then you reach over and pick it up, and you can throw it or hit it or do any number of things. And their big pitch is that if you want to do something like, I don't know, edit video or build a 3D model of something, that rather than having to try to figure that out with a mouse and a keyboard, why not just do it? Why not just build it with your hands? And you can grab something and move it, or shrink it, or move it over there, or just this much more natural, normal human way of doing something. If you wanted to move it around in the world, you wouldn't, you know, go find the buttons to do it. You would just pick it up and move it.
Right.
And I think that's how the digital world should work too. And that's a big part of this. It's less for like typing an email and more for kind of interacting with technology in this totally new and fascinating way.
Yeah, again, I encourage listeners to check out the video to really get a full understanding of how cool this looks. And, you know, this is just the tip of the iceberg, though. Over time, it sounds like they're really thinking up all kinds of futuristic typing, you know, from eye tracking to connective clothing. At this point, basically, it's not even crazy to think that one day we can think our words.
It's going to get so weird, but it's going to be great. And I think the most compelling one that I saw was that brain interface typing. And there are a surprising number of companies and researchers working on this, because the initial use is for people who either physically are unable to type. You have this. There was a study done on people who were paralyzed and unable to move their hands the way that you would need to type. So they basically built a system that takes your brain waves, that understands what part of your brain lights up as you're thinking about something, and mapped that to letters. So you can type just by thinking about it. And that's the sort of thing that, you know, we get into weird, sort of terrifying dystopian science fiction pretty quickly.
Right,
there.
Sure.
But that's the kind of thing that's coming. The big thing I liked about reporting on the end of the QWERTY keyboard is that we've been in this phase for so long where we kind of had to learn a computer's language. I mean, we used QWERTY keyboards back when the only way to use a computer was to write code on it constantly. And then it got a little better. We can type in English now. And the next phase is going to be that these computers work like we do. They use all 5 senses. I mean, I talk to people who are thinking about what can a computer do with smell and taste to interact with you in VR and AR and all these things. But that computers will be something we interact with the way we interact with things in the real world, which will mean lots of different ways, and they'll feel natural. Things will work like they should, instead of us having to sort of sit down and remember how to program something to work the way that we want it to. And that's what I think is exciting.
Oh, it's the future. David, thank you for another fascinating glimpse. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Again, check out David's video at wsj.com/tech. And that is Tech News Briefing. Reporting from the newsroom in New York, I'm Tanya Bustos. Thanks for listening.